The following is a Fourth Hand production.
The date is April 9th, 1865, and the war is coming to a close. Ulysses S. Grant and the soldiers of the North chase Robert E. Lee and his Confederate men to Appomattox Courthouse and surround him. After an initial battle, Lee decides that the fight is hopeless and surrenders his Army of Northern Virginia. The Civil War is over. After 4 years of bloodshed, the North has defeated the South, and the fractured nation can begin to heal and rebuild. Oddly, there are reports of a Confederate train filled to the brim with treasure and high-ranking officials escaping in the dead of the night.
6 days later, in a theater in Washington, D.C., a disenfranchised actor and Southern sympathizer, John Wilkes Booth, assassinates President Abraham Lincoln. Booth is eventually tracked down to a tobacco farm by federal troops where he is shot and killed. Oddly, his body is never identified by family members. Only one photo is allowed to be taken of the corpse, and it vanishes without a trace. Lincoln is dead, but is Booth? How would he have escaped? How much help did he have?
How does this all tie together? The Knights of the Golden Circle, an alleged secret society of Southern sympathizers who were around well before the war began and went underground when it ended. Reputed to boast such infamous members as the notorious outlaw Jesse James and John Wilkes Booth, among others. This secret society with Masonic roots is said to have birthed the Ku Klux Klan and buried a treasure somewhere in the U.S. so valuable that treasure hunters still seek it to this day. Were the Knights of the Golden Circle a well-organized and extraordinarily funded machine with a pro-slavery, racist agenda pushing the U.S. towards a second Civil War? Or was it a hapless band of idiots that printed a few flyers and came up with what they thought was a cool name? We'll get to the bottom of it next on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This is hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive!
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in Hysteria Nation to the podcast that doesn't do all of our research in Nick Cage movies, just most of it. This is Hysteria 51.
Recapping, the Knights of the Golden Circle was a Southern extremist group operating in the North to subvert Union forces.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, I'm your humble host. My name is John Goforth. Alongside is my co-host, Mr. Brent John Voight Hand.
My grandfather told me this story himself. I saw the truth of it in his eyes.
Thanks, John. And much like that clip, I like to do a vast majority of my research by speaking to old men and just believing everything they tell me. Which reminds me, did I tell you about that bear that shits wooden nickels in the forest a few miles from here?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
No, but honestly, that would be an upgrade over the historical accuracy of most Nick Cage movies. And wow, he definitely does seem to come up on this show a lot. But either way, old men stories or Nick Cage, it's all better researched than the third wheel of this disaster.
I know you are, but what am I?
That voice you're hearing is the one and only Conspiracy Bot.
No. Seriously. What am I?
That's a topic for another day, buddy.
But a fair question.
I don't think we want to get into that right now.
Brent built C-Bot to do the research for this show, but he spends most of his time drinking and insulting guests.
Hosts, too.
C-Bot, I was meaning to ask you, what were you doing this afternoon? I saw you on the roof with a bunch of wire hangers and duct tape.
Don't worry about it. By the way, is the front door unlocked? Also, where do you keep the ammonia and bleach?
Does this have something to do with the unmarked white van that's been sitting across the street for like four freaking days?
I was wondering about that. And why does the phone keep ringing and then hanging up? C-Bot?
Robot. So, we have a guest, huh?
He doesn't seem all that anxious to...
I don't know if we're going to get to the bottom of that one or not.
Yeah.
But we do have a guest, John.
We do.
We have a special guest, and we can say that this time. It's actually, it's not like Joe Pack.
Our contest winner.
Contest. Not only did we have a contest winner, we got him on here fast. Mr. Ryan Nolan.
My mom already said I was special.
So Ryan came up with the topic tonight, Knights of the Golden Circle. I keep wanting to say like Knights of the Round Table, Kentucky Fried Chicken, because KGC, KFC, KGB, I'm all over the place.
We're Knights of the Round Table, we dance when we're able, we do routines to call the scenes to footwork impeccable.
Anything that any topic that brings on
any reason that we can get Monty Python into the show, I'm for.
So Ryan, tell us a little about yourself, suitor number one.
Well, raised in Georgia, weirdly did not find out about the Knights of the Golden Compass
until your grandpa died. You went through his shit.
Bullshit! We've got a Southerner on our hands.
Grandpa must have really liked dressing as a ghost.
He had some hoods in here, and it was real weird. No, I just didn't find. I never found out about it while living down there, and I was from right around Stone Mountain, which is where the Ku Klux Klan's from. So you'd think I would have heard of it.
That's a resume builder right there. I'm from the home of the Ku Klux Klan. I speak three languages, and I'm proficient in Excel.
So I've never been to Stone Mountain, but I have been to Chester.
A mountain stone? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I have done that. I've never been to Stone Mountain, but I've been to Chester, Illinois, which claims to be the home of Popeye. I don't know if it's true
or the guy who created Popeye or some shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that restaurant.
And that
love that chicken from... Who says I'm not a master of voices?
That's wow, that was really, really good.
I know.
But, you know, they've got a big statue, you know, the sign says, you know, home of it. So my question is, when you get to the city limits, does it say, you know, welcome to Stone Mountain, home of the Ku Klux Klan?
Not quite, but there is a large literal Stone Mountain with the kind of Mount Rushmore buffs of Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, and the president, Jefferson Davis.
It's okay that you didn't rattle those off immediately. Like, you had to think about those. I'm okay with that, I think.
I would have been worried if you had quickly rattled them off.
And then, like, kisses his fingers and points them at the sky.
The South shall rise again.
So, yeah.
You know, I did notice you said President Jefferson Davis.
I think I said Confederate president, and if I didn't, I meant their president. Not my president.
Grab him by the... Like segregated vagina.
Grab my chains.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're being too political again, Brian.
Oh, man. I tell you, so yeah, we had our contest of all the topics. He brought up the Knights of the Golden Circle, which I had never heard of. And then I thought to myself, I've seen a Nick Cage movie. I just didn't put two and two together.
Correct. Now, question, I haven't seen it yet. The new Kingsman movie. Kingsman the Golden Circle.
I'm only assuming it's exactly about this.
I think.
And it's up to the Brits to come in and save us, right?
Yeah.
That's
there's an American
save
aspect
me from
to
myself.
It, right? Isn't I don't know.
Yeah, they're the Kingsmen and the Statesmen. The Statesmen are, you know.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
With the guy from 21 Jump Street.
Channing Tatum.
Thank you.
We actually knew
Ice
that.
Ice Cube, actually.
We just wanted to see how fast you would rattle that off.
That was your pop culture test for the day.
I just figured you had a crush on him.
More like Channing Tate, yum.
Channing Tate, yum. Mm. Oh, he can dance. That's my voice.
Magic Mike, you've seen it.
Never to the end. You know, that's a
you never make it all the way.
No, who's the comedian?
I only watch it for McConaughey.
Louis C.K. is like, I watch Magic Mike, but I've never watched it all the way to the end. They're like, why? He goes, because I know what the ending is. I'm gay. I think it's what happens when I get to the end of that movie. It turns out that I'm actually a homosexual because they are pretty, pretty men. So without further ado, let's get into this story. Knights of the Golden Circle.
Only this show can we start with a Confederate sympathizing group and end with Magic Mike.
I think they would be okay with Magic Mike.
I don't.
No,
I'm not really sure. I'm. You know, maybe. You know, if you are a blatant racist, call in 773-669-7277. Let us know your thoughts on Magic Mike. We'll think about playing it.
Also, send us your address
and
email, and we'll like kind of let everybody kind of get back to you on that.
If you don't mind. Yeah. I think is the best way. Moving on.
Brings a whole new meaning to Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't. We're
something
just going
to stone.
Mama love a dub dub.
He's getting his butt and his pinchers are crossed there, I think. So what do we know about the Knights of the Golden Circle? Well, they were a secret society of Southern sympathizers, and if you think that's hard to say, it is.
So we're going to start here with things that we're pretty sure are true.
Yeah, this is one of those things. There is things that are true, things that maybe not be true, things that Nicolas Cage said.
Things we really want to be true, yeah. Because it just makes it that much more fun.
And then just potpourri that John made up to fill in the holes in the story. So see if you can figure those out. And then he turned to the guy and said,
No, but then I gave the outline to Conspiracy Bot and he was on his third bottle of your rum. Yeah. So I really don't know where the rest of this goes.
I'll ask you to not church this up.
Oh, there you go.
Fair enough.
So formed out of the burgeoning Southern Rights Club formed by the Southern Democrats pre-Civil War, they named themselves for their plan to create a golden circle of slave keeping territory. So they just had, just encircle yourself with the things that you want most, slaves.
Turns out they were also into golden showers.
I'm not really sure if that's true or not, but we'll say so. Yeah.
I don't think this is a group of people that were worried about casting aspersions against.
It's like last week, we're like, I'm not sure if all Nazis were pedophiles, but I don't really think anyone's going to call us out on that.
Well, listen, I'm a Nazi, and I can tell you what, I am not a pedophile. I do not like little boys.
Since when do Nazis speak with Southern accents? Go.
Well,
have you been paying attention for the last couple of
months? Yeah, I was just going to say, do you have a television? And if so, is it on?
No, keep it off. It's fine. I was just going to do it with a German accent next. I just don't remember how I started it.
It's fun.
I will have you know. No, that is not German.
So, yeah, the Secret Society was born in 1854 when George W. L. Bickley decided to gather men to an extended version of the Southern cause. An extended version because Civil War era South wasn't, you know, fundamentally evil enough for him. Like, we need to really stick it to the man.
It's the antebellum.
There weren't enough states where you could have slaves.
Exactly.
We need more land to have slaves on.
Well, I mean, he organized the first castle or local branch in Cincinnati, you know, which isn't really known for its slavery as much as you'd think.
It's chilly.
Yeah, exactly. And that's in 1854. And he wanted to launch.
Did they have Skyline Chili in 1854?
Obviously.
People that ate it still have the shits from that stuff. It's disgusting. You have to skim it three times just to get... I hate Skyline Chili. I'm probably alienating people, but I am not a fan. Have you had it?
Cincinnati call in. Of course I've had it.
Philip Savaggio, one of our former guests, his girlfriend...
There's cinnamon in it.
His girlfriend and one-time roommate of mine, Lauren, loves Skyline Chili, and she would... she bought it, and I'm like, oh, you know, fucking chili, how can you mess that up? You can mess up chili, it turns out. You can. I'm a fat guy. You don't think that I would be that.
Side note, you know, I like lots of different types of chili. My big thing about chili, I don't like beans.
Well, normal chili, you either have chili or chili with beans. I don't mind the chili and beans. I don't mind it without them.
I just don't want beans in my chili.
Well, now we know. So
who's going to be making chili,
take back
for
all
me.
Your damn Christmas gifts now. Oh, so back to this George W. L. Bickley cat. He wanted to launch military attacks on parts of Mexico, Cuba, and the West Indies, because they sound like fun places to attack in the 1800s, from his perched area of Cincinnati. So those are the areas that he and the rest of the Knights of the Golden Circle wanted to just fucking attack. They planned to attack.
They just wanted to annex them. And if people got in his way, they were going to attack them because that would form the circle.
Well, a literal geographical circle around them, hence the name.
Right.
It's not just a clever name. It's also descriptive. Like the shitty Beatles.
and geometric.
You're throwing them out, John.
On it like a bonnet. That was time period specific because women wore bonnets.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Thank you.
Great job.
They wanted to create a slave empire. This region produced all of the world's supply of tobacco, cotton, and sugar, as well as a lot of its rice and coffee. And so the closest they came to carrying out these plans was a small, unsuccessful attack on Mexico. However, rumor has it that they gathered all the weapons and funds they needed to wage war, and that treasure still exists somewhere today. But more on that later.
Doesn't this kind of sound like like a really bad plot of Dr. Evil?
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Yeah, like, like 1 million bullets. Sir, we're going to need more than that.
we're going to take over Mexico and Cuba and the West Indies.
Like, go ahead, take them. Okay.
Yeah. Like at that time, what is it? Like, you're going to like hold the spice trade and like, what were they growing down there? Marijuana in Mexico at that time?
And how are you going to do it? Well, I've got these 50 guys, and we're going to run down. Well, first we'll run down to Mexico. How'd that go? Well, not so good.
Well, Bubba over there, he's got a couple neighbors that are really sympathetic to our cause, and they got a couple of guns.
Everyone's got a cousin. Well, bring them on out.
Wait, is that your cousin or your spouse?
Yes.
Like I said, done. Brother Daddy says that it was worth mentioning that these people refer to the KGC as an offshoot of the Freemasons, or reference some of the ties therein. So once again, these secret societies don't fall far from the tree, I guess. A lot of inbreeding in there too. There's no proof of that though. I got to say that there's no proof that they were Freemasons. Well, it's just alluded to.
Here's what does seem to be true. There was a key figure in the KGC. His name was Brigadier General Albert Pike. He had a loose tie to Freemasonry / the Scottish Rite Masonry, and basically he stole a bunch of their stuff, their handshakes and, you know, little speeches they had to give to one another to make it into the room, and then he brought it to the KGC, and they switched the handshakes around a little bit to kind of sound cool and make it seem like a cool secret organization.
They had a secret handshake. Do we need a secret handshake? How does that work?
Well, you got pinchers, so I don't think it's going to work very well.
Yeah, it would have to be a very simple handshake.
Well, it's fist bump.
Pinch bump?
Yeah, I'm in.
It's bound to hurt less.
So in 1858, future Confederate States Army Brigadier General Elkanah Greer, I believe is how you pronounce this cat's name, established KGC castles in East Texas and Louisiana.
Boy, that's one of those names that didn't get hip again.
Yeah, and it's also, those are where...
You always read those lists about, you know, baby names that used to be cool.
Oh, no, I know a bunch of guys named Greer.
and my cousin, Brigadier General. So, yeah, I didn't know where you're going with that, John. Really?
let's see if all these old names that used to be cool. Elkanah, nope, that's not it.
But at least he set these castles up in East Texas and Louisiana, the places kind of that you'd think at that time. Yeah, okay, Confederate sympathizers and shit. And by 1860, Greer had become Grand Commander of 4,000 military knights in the KGC's Texas division of 21 castles.
So, you know, at its strongest, the Knights of the Golden Circle did have a decent foothold in Texas. That's kind of documented.
Which is, again, exactly where you'd expect a giant fuck stain of a evil organization at that time.
Texas, call in.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, Austin has something to say about that.
Hell yes!
You know, this thing was so huge. It was, you know, bigger than a Walmart.
It is a big state.
But the thing is, if you read beyond what we know for certain, you know, people say that, you know, they had their claws all around the entire country. But what seems to be more true is they really just kind of had that foothold in Texas.
So the Texas KGC supported President of the United States James Buchanan's policy of and draft treaty for protecting routes for U.S. commerce across Mexico, which failed to be approved by the U.S. Senate. Meaning
they would get us into Mexico, exactly, they were for.
They're let's get the fuck in there. Although... a unionist, United States Senator Sam Houston, introduced a resolution.
Does that name sound familiar in Texas?
In the U.S. Senate in 1858 for the United States to declare and maintain an efficient protectorate over the states of Mexico, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Honduras, and San Salvador. This measure...
Why did San Salvador get to flourish, but the rest of them didn't?
Because I was reading it, and that's what I chose, John.
Oh, I think you did it poorly.
Nicaragua.
This plane is going to Nicaragua. Oh, it's from Malaysia. How about that? So this measure, which supported the goal of the KGC, also failed to be adopted. They're striking out a lot.
Yeah, still had majorities that were like, let's not do this crazy shit.
Right, and the other thing is, they're going about it at least democratically right now. They tried one, you know, strong arm. It didn't work. So they're like, well, let's see if we can get it passed. not so much.
Well, democratically within the U.S., let's just expand slave states by taking a bunch of Mexico.
I mean, I don't know if it's okay that we both win. I mean, but yeah.
I mean, isn't that Manifest Destiny, though? Like,
well, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it's just taking Manifest Destiny instead of, all right, we got east or we got west. Let's go south. That seems good. They got a lot of good farmland down
there.
Lots
of ways to make a circle. Oh, boy. So, in short, at first they tried to expand the slave state by expanding.
Why do you both seem so okay with this?
I'm not okay with it.
No, we're not okay at all. We're telling the story.
Yeah.
In short, at first they tried to expand the slave state by expanding the U.S. Like you said, go take more of Mexico. And when Lincoln was elected, they realized that plan was going to work. And they began to support the southern state secession. Yeah, that makes a little bit more sense at that time. Like, well, you know what? If you can't beat them, leave them. Not join them, leave them. Right?
If you can't beat them, leave them.
that's
wasn't that at which point that's, you'll have
wasn't
to beat
that your
them.
Policy we were, in first marriage?
We were both going to say it. I allowed you to. I'm still on my first marriage. Producer Lisa, what do you have to say about that? Nothing. Exactly. Throughout the war, various members of the Confederacy
old
were
strategy,
members,
Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for
members of the KGC. And in late 1863, the KGC reorganizes the Order of American Knights. And in 1864,
so they decided they had a branding problem.
Yeah. And then in 1864, it becomes the Order of the Sons of Liberty.
It's really ironic that they became the Order of the Sons of Liberty. When you consider that the actual Sons of Liberty was a secret society early in the, like when the 13 colonies were around to fight, you know, underrepresentation in the British government over taxation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say the Order of the Sons of Liberty versus the Daughters of Liberty, like just 100%. Completely different ideals.
Not people, exactly the same.
Philosophies. Everything was just kind of messed up and just went off into left field at that point.
Which, I mean, it's a fucked up time, but you're right. Like, maybe that was on purpose. Maybe they're like the Order of the Sons of Liberty. Like, we're the real Sons of Liberty in their mind.
Well, no matter
what. It had to have been on purpose.
No matter who you politically support, like, if you look at, like, the names of the super PACs that are supporting either side, they're all like, America for freedom or America for prosperity or puppies, kittens, and that. Yeah.
Everything is it's all
puppies, kittens, and rainbows.
Puppy kittens and rainbows. Yeah. It's never going to be like fuck them all and tax them. Well, no, that might not work. I mean, we can swing at it, but
alternative facts.
Yeah. And from there, the Knights of the Golden Circle fade into history as nothing more than a passing phase of pro-slavery sympathizers. Or did they, John?
After the break, we examine the possibility that this group just took their money and went underground, orchestrating assassinations, undermining the government, and awaiting the perfect time to launch the second civil war.
Ooh, all that coming up on Hysteria 51. Man, a lot of negativity in this first half, John. Yeah. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big ol' move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Welcome back, Hysteria Nation. My name is Ryan Nolan.
We are here. No. You win a contest. You don't just take over the show.
I mean, come on. Like, don't I get some perks?
Conspiracy vibe didn't shock him.
Well, should I be worried about that?
He's only got two pinchers. Oh, with electric. Sorry. I didn't follow what you're going to there.
Well, he did bring you a cocktail over the break. Yeah, drink up.
I wonder why he called you Neapolitan. Now I get it. Have you ever seen the picture, too? Never mind. So when we last left off, oh, intrepid listener, we were talking about the Civil War or the end of it, which kind of brings up Lincoln. You can't really talk about the Civil War without Abraham Lincoln. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. I think John is, because we come from his not where he was born, but where he spent most of his time. Good old Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah, the land o' Lincoln.
It gets its name honest, right?
Yes. He was the rail splitter.
Yeah, that's right. Which, if you really, really want to do it, you can go to Salisbury, Illinois, and see
like where the steak comes from.
The horrible fucking place that he lived in, because it was right by the water. Fuck Springfield. At first, he said this is going to be the big mecca, and now it's like. Was it Salisbury? Is it New Salem outside of Salisbury? That's what I'm trying to think of.
I just liked my joke about Salisbury steak. I just let you go.
New Salem has something like there's some witch trials in there.
That's old Salem.
This one we're going to do it better. We'll actually find the witches this time.
Yeah. Drown everyone.
This is what happens when contest winners bring us back from break. You see what you did?
I'm happy with it. I think we're doing great.
So, Brent, the Civil War ended April 9th, 1865. And 6 days later, I don't know if people realize this. Everyone knows that it ended and at some point Lincoln got assassinated. It was literally within the week
that Lincoln was shot by John Wilkes
Booth. 6 days. That checks out. Your math's good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Assuming you remember your eighth grade history, you know the story. Wilkes was a pretty famous actor at the time and a Southern sympathizer. And the official story is that he, along with the help of a few others, had originally intended to kidnap Lincoln, but at some point came to the conclusion that the only way to right the wrong, that is the end of the Civil War. Just let that sink in. The only way to right the wrong that is the end of the Civil War and slavery in their eyes was to kill Lincoln. He and his cohorts also decided to kill the vice president and secretary of state at the same time. Unfortunately for them, fortunately for the rest of the fucking planet, only Booth succeeds.
Yeah, I mean, fucking, I mean, obviously we wish that nobody had succeeded, but...
But fucking A. Come on.
Yeah, but yeah, they were obviously trying to disrupt the entire government.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And
as you do.
So Lincoln's watching the play Our American Cousin at Ford Theater. Booth sneaks up into the president's box.
This place sucks. Someone shoot me.
Booth was actually a really prominent actor back then. He actually got his mail at Ford Theater.
What's funny is Lincoln might have turned around and been like, "Well, that's John Wilkes Booth."
Like, you know, yeah. It'd be like turning around and go, "Kevin Costner." Hey.
Oh shit! Yeah, yeah.
I'm not calling Kevin Costner a presidential assassin. For the record,
at least I saw Kevin Costner's boat in Santa Barbara this last week. Fun times.
Did he have a sniper rifle out?
Oh hey, Kevin Costner.
Actually, he has a boat. Was he like getting ready for Waterworld?
Yeah, no shit, right? That shit's real, man.
He still believes it.
You said he gets his mail there. Like, it's nothing for him to be walking around the theater.
So he sneaks up into the box and he shoots him in the back of the head. After a brief struggle with somebody else, he jumps down a story onto the stage, reportedly breaking his leg. He yells some nonsense. Accounts differ as to what he said. Some say he said, "Sic semper tyrannis," which means "thus always to tyrants." Some other people say he said, "The South is avenged." Don't we have a clip from the documentary that Nick Cage put together on what was said.
And Latin?
Well, Booth was a student of Latin. He shouted, "Sic semper tyrannis," after he shot Lincoln. Thus always to tyrants,
we know.
I actually found a clip. It wasn't any of those things.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
You're saying Nick Cage actually killed Lincoln, or he was John Wilkes Booth? I'm not following. Well, what are you saying?
I'm not saying that.
Exactly. So,
oh, God.
You see why we don't let him talk that much, Ryan?
Yeah, now I'm scared he's going to pin me for something.
I have been thinking about pinning you, but for different reasons.
Oh, boy.
What? I like to wrestle.
That's not... that. And so, Wilkes yells something, we assume, may or may not have broken his leg. And then he escapes by horseback. Lives on the lam for a few days, but ultimately is found hiding out in a tobacco farm with another conspirator, where he's shot and killed. The end. End of story. Right, John? That's it. That's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not John.
Or was he? That's okay. I mean, anyone can. It's not hard to fill his shoes. I promise. Ask his wife. Anyone can fill in. That's where the traditional story ends. But now let's paint an alternative picture for you, one that was brought to our eyes by Mr. Ryan. So it's December 1859.
It was a lot more recent than you think, actually.
Still 2 years away from the Civil War, and popular actor John Wilkes Booth is so passionate about the cause of slavery that he joins the Richmond Grays, a volunteer militia of 1,500 men traveling to Charlestown to guard against the rescue of John Brown, an abolitionist leader who is due to be hung. He wanted humans to be bought and sold so bad that he puts his own life on the line to protect that for other people. That is the definition of fucking mental illness.
Can we talk about the Richmond Grays? That sounds like a 1959, like, leather helmets football team.
Or an abduction story, the Richmond Gray.
Though I have to say, if you were playing football in 1959 and still wearing leather helmets, you would probably have some brain injuries.
If you're playing football in 2017, period, you probably have some brain injuries.
Ooh, hot take.
Ooh,
hot take.
Hot topic there. That's a hot topic.
I'm sorry. I'll stick to historical. Yeah.
Keep making your jokes about slavery and shit. Keep that football out of this.
Yeah.
So his passion for the cause, as we're saying, is noted. And he's recruited into the Knights of the Golden Circle. And as the Civil War commences, he outwardly continues acting.
His passion for chili is also noted.
Yes, exactly. That's what I
That's why he was in Cincinnati at the time.
Right. Like, you know what you need? More of this, because it's delicious. And slavery. Lots of slavery. You know, I don't like the guy, but he's got a point.
Skyline chili and slavery.
Yeah.
we're not saying anything. We're just kind of making the connection.
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying it. You know what I mean? You smell what I'm stepping in?
You do the research and get back to us.
Oh, God. So the war commenced. Like I said, he outwardly continues acting and living a somewhat normal life, but secretly he's working with the Knights to disrupt the North seat of power. Which, actually, that's not so... I mean, that's kind of true, obviously. He killed the president, so...
That seems a little disruptive.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a far-fetch yet. So as the war comes to close, it's determined something drastic must be done, and plans of kidnapping Lincoln are abandoned because it's determined by the Knights of the Golden Circle that the only thing to be done, take out Lincoln and his leadership. Kill him. That's it. So Booth is chosen because his status of an actor... He can just fucking walk right in there and be like, oh, hello.
I mean, he has unfettered access to lots of theaters. Yeah. And at that time,
it wasn't like today where they've got bodyguards on bodyguards.
Right. And the president is known to go to plays. Yeah. So chances are the opportunity is going to present itself.
Yeah. One of the bits of research I had read was that he was trying to invite Andrew Johnson, trying to invite Grant, trying to invite just anybody he could find to go to this damn play with him. And eventually he just said, screw it. I'm going, me and Mrs. Lincoln, and I guess one bodyguard or something like that.
Mary Todd.
And screw it, I'm going. Like, he really wanted to go see my American cousin for whatever reason.
Man.
It was the comedy of its time, sir. That was the reason.
So what's the plan, John?
The plan is to assassinate the entire executive branch, causing such a disruption in the government that the rebels could reform quickly and start the war back up.
What they needed was Valiant Thor to come in and just mind meld with everyone and just get them all there.
But Valiant Thor was a peaceful man.
Well,
or that's Venusian.
Venusian. Those purple bastards. I don't think he would have done well in the South at that time, so we probably shouldn't bring him up.
They would not have enjoyed the leotard.
Well, Booth delivered. We can say that much on his part of the plan. He kills the president. He escapes with the well-executed help of the Knights of the Golden Circle, many think. And the federal troops do surround a tobacco farm in Virginia and shot a man.
But!
Au contraire.
But, Brent. Who did they shoot?
A lookalike.
Not him.
A lookalike.
The man they shot in that barn was a Mr. James Boyd, a former Confederate agent working for the War Department. He bore a passing resemblance to Booth, aside from his red hair and mustache. Aside from that.
Every picture's black and white. It's fine. It won't even show.
Booth's hair was jet black, but he had shaved off his mustache at the home of Dr. Samuel Mudd shortly before escaping from Washington.
Yeah, and not a single friend of Booth was called to the inquest to identify the body. And a Washington doctor named John May had removed a tumor from Booth's neck several months prior to the Lincoln assassination, and he was summoned to view the corpse. And when the blanket covering the body was removed, May stated, there was no resemblance in that corpse to Booth, nor can I believe it to be him. May later changed his statement to conform with the official proclamation that Booth had been captured and killed, because it's a lot easier to go along with that than go, oh, he's free.
Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days. Joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare. Both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria today.
Well, we
swipe
see,
it under the table.
Well, we see all the people today that are saying, well, no, we never actually went to space, or we visited aliens in space.
That's
or
not
one
a
way
new
or the
thing.
Other. Yeah. And then suddenly it's like, oh no, you're right. I screwed up.
We know we didn't go to space.
So those of us that are woke know that
hashtag.
That John Wilkes Booth in reality was taken to Texas immediately after the assassination, where he lived and worked for many years under the alias John St. Helen.
And we all know John St. Helen was the porn name that he went by, because he never left acting. He just switched to porn, which at that time they just sketched it. It was nowhere near as good as the porn.
And did such a good job at it, he later had a mountain named after
him. That's true. I want to have a joke there, but I'm just enjoying this.
Eruptions.
So much. There's too many just collided in my brain.
Something about pitching a tent.
So Mr. John St. Helen died in Texas in 1903. But some even say that he was killed by a not dead for 50 years already, Jesse James, who was also supposedly a Knight of the Golden Circle.
Well, thank you, rabbit hole diggers, who found all that for us, because it just makes sense. I mean, it all comes full circle.
And we could even go further down that.
Well, they were at a Thule Society meeting. And what had happened was Booth and James at the time, going by different names, were arguing over who was going to command the first ship that would sail through Antarctica into the tunnels that led to the Aryans in there. And I'll be damned if Jesse James was going to let some bastard.
It just makes sense.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Wait, I'm sorry. Pedophiles. Now we've come full circle.
But on a more serious or realistic or on a something note, like Jesse James had already been known to fake his death. He had already done it at least once that I know of.
That's the problem. It's at these times people would go, I killed him. Here he is.
Yeah.
And if no one was around that could really identify him, they look at that sketchy sketch. That's funny. And go, well, it looks like him. So yeah, we're going to say he's dead.
Yeah. It's cool. You get the bounty. And he's no longer wanted by anybody, so go and start robbing train cars again.
So there's some things to pull apart there. The Jesse James thing we didn't hit on hard, because they actually did exhume the remains of Jesse James a few years back DNA tested it. And it turned out to be Jesse James.
Okay.
Or within 99%, they said.
And unfortunately, so at that time, Jeff Mudgett goes, God damn it. Now,
Jeff Mudgett goes, guess I'll quit that whole book on
my Uncle Jesse.
Oh. But either way, you're telling me there's a chance that it wasn't. So let's just go on that. Well, 0.1%.
Here's the better part of
the other thing. The other thing to unpack there is there is a large conspiracy out there, unrelated and untied to the Knights of the Golden Circle, about whether Booth actually died that day.
Well,
about whether he was killed, whether he did escape. The Knights of the Golden Circle tied into that for their this conspiracy, the believers of the Knights of the Golden Circle conspiracy tied into that. But there's also a completely separate mythology and lore behind just whether Booth died that day without the help of the Knights of the Golden Circle.
And it doesn't stop there. Because after they say that he became John St. Helen and he died, there's reports that the mummy of John St. Helen toured the country as part of a carnival and sideshow for the next 50 years until it vanished one day. This guy can't catch a break.
Vanished or just disintegrated?
The curator said there are too many gnats on this thing. We can't keep doing this.
Now he walked away. Walked out. You know, because he wasn't dead. He was 163. He was spry.
The big problem with virtually all of this.
Would you want to say the vast majority?
The vast majority of pretty much everything we've talked about since break. It comes from websites, you know, with like Angel Fire in the web address.
Conspiracy Archive.
Yeah. Not much of this is on Wikipedia or your local Encyclopedia Britannica.
I've seen more clip art used on modern websites looking this up than I have in years.
And they're all citing each other too.
At the bottom is proud member of the Conspiracy Archive. like you can click and there's a list, but that list is no longer there, unfortunately, because they didn't pay their nickel for the last
404 page not found.
Damn it! But it was important. It's important to note there are you could go a lot more in depth into just the Booth thing, not tied to the Knights of the Golden Circle.
That's probably an episode which we might do in the future.
And is worth looking at by itself.
But the other thing that we need to look at this, because there's a lot of thought that this was true, is the treasure. According to legend, maybe or maybe not if it's legend or if it's true, sometime around the end of the Civil War, a mysterious train absconded from Richmond, Virginia, with high-ranking members of the Confederacy, which also happened to be in the KGC, and an obscene amount of gold bullion, ammunition, weapons, everything in tow. In short, treasure.
You know, that really is a nice collection. Must have taken you a long time to hunt down all that history.
Sounds just like the Nazi gold train, man. Like, it's fucking crazy. And by the time the North arrived and Jefferson Davis is captured, the train and the treasure, it's gone. All of it. What happened next is what's really up for debate on this. We aren't talking about the debate as to whether the treasure actually existed. For the sake of argument, let's just say it did on this. The debate is what happened to the treasure. And some say the train was robbed and it sort of just disappeared into the ether, as treasure's one to do when it gets robbed. Others say I like to think it all went to prostitutes and whores, because they were the hardworking people of the West.
It's a great way to like clean your money too. Like, they're not taking receipts.
Give it
they're
to just, whores.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What'd you do with all your money? I spent it all on dirty women and booze, and then I wasted the rest.
Then I just wasted it all, the rest of it. So others say the remaining members of the Knights of the Golden Circle divided up and went on their merry way, knowing the battle was lost. Well, we're horrible, horrible racists, but we'll just go about our business. Here, have a few $100 million.
Yeah, we've got lots of money to do it with.
But the most prevalent story, or at least the one written about the most, is that the treasure is still out there. That's the one everyone wants to believe.
That's why it's written about the most.
The KGC pulled some Knights Templar shit and hid it deep in the heart of the country. Butthole. Leaving only archaic symbols and clues to lead to its whereabouts.
I'll call Nick Cage. We are on speaking terms again. He apologized.
You literally just accused him of presidential assassination.
Yeah, it's cool. He don't mind.
I think he does. Why don't you leave the phone down, buddy? Doing so in hopes that the KGC courts would use their nerd club logic to dig it up one day and start Civil War II. Not World War II, Civil War II.
Electric Boogaloo.
the only two worth speaking of.
Or Enter Thunderdome, or just there's a whole list of names we could give the Second Civil War. But
Civil War Thunderdome.
But what if the treasure that they found is what's at the bottom of Oak Island?
Oh, shit. You know what? That I don't think I've ever heard them say about that. What if it's dirty Confederate gold?
Like, there's Masonic symbols around Oak Island. There's Masonic stuff that came through the founding of the KGC through not Edward James Olmos, but the other guy. I'm forgetting his name. Brigadier General Albert Pike. Like, it's at least a little bit tying together, and this is the one place that we like this is the center of all of the activity about any treasure, any Masonic symbols, anything that has to do with any like big conspiracy in America.
I'll tell you the biggest problem with your theory. Canadians don't suffer racists.
Hello, I'm MC Canadian Stereotype. I'm about to get started, so let me get off the ice. But I don't want any trouble, and I am always polite. Now let's hop on my snowmobile, and I will tell you what I like.
So it'd be the last place anybody would look.
The thing is, I'm going to tell you this.
Ooh.
Two things. Number one, you're right. All the symbols and all that shit that's around Oak Island makes you think that someone in the know hit something there. Whether it's still there or not, that place is cool. And number two... They haven't, the new season and shit hasn't come out, but people have their eyes on Oak Island. They have brought in heavy duty digging machinery and are dredging and digging the fuck out of. So they either, number one, think they found something, or number two, the network said, you know what, you need to put up or shut up. And they're like, fine, we'll do it. And they're just going to fucking dig the shit out of it. They are actively digging like they should have been doing for 5 years.
Well, now, in all honesty, the real challenge with that is all of the things that they've found, that they've carbon, you know, the coins and the coconut fibers and everything they've dated, that's all back from like the 1700s and from before that.
Fair enough. Okay. So new theory, the Ironside that is seen leaving
Michael?
The Eastern Bay.
Michael Ironside?
No, the Ironside.
The best Ironside.
From the beginning of the Matthew McConaughey flick, Sahara.
Oh.
That was carrying Confederate gold.
Oh, you're the one.
That watched it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie.
All right.
No.
There's a lot of theories around this. The creme de la creme, the what everyone wants to talk about is this Bob Brewer. Now, Bob's an ex-Navy man.
The best proof of the treasure, you mean.
Treasure, yeah. An ex-Navy man who believed his grandpappy was a sentinel for the KGC. And his belief of this wasn't based in more than conjecture and of a few old family stories. But what is interesting are all the old weird symbols on and near his land in Arkansas. Now that is an appropriate drop-in. we are fucking pissing off a lot of states here, because none of them are as perfect as Illinois that we live in, which is shedding people by the thousands every year.
Pay no attention to the budget sheet. Yeah.
Our federal prisons are full, but that's because they're full of our governors. So it's just the way it goes. So using those symbols and some intense treasure hunting, he actually did wind up finding a canning jar filled with gold and silver coins from the 1800s. And in the forest about 10 miles from his home is where all this is found. And he says in total he's unearthed about $200,000 worth of old 1800s gold and silver coins. And this is documented. He's found this shit.
The story goes on and on and on about how he found it. All the different symbols, he is on treasure hunt. He will tell you all you want to know. In fact, there's an entire book about it. If you want to learn more, Brewer's life is detailed in a book called Shadow of the Sentinel, One Man's Quest to Find Hidden Treasure of the Confederacy. It's a book he wrote with Warren Gettler, a former Wall Street Journal reporter.
These guys are trained mercenaries as well as being black market antiquities dealers.
Yes, that's exactly what he was.
So all that said, he found some treasure and good for him, right? I mean, yay. But obviously he didn't find the main Knights of the Golden Circle treasure. If it exists, it's still out there. 200,000, that's not a lot compared to what they were dealing with, was supposedly gold and ammunition and rifles.
Gold.
What do you guys think? What was the draw for this other than your racist background, Ryan?
Yeah, other than other than spending 13 years in Georgia. Wasn't my choice. Well, other than spending 13 years in Georgia growing up, I just thought it was such an interesting conspiracy, because it seemed like there was enough evidence to show that this secret organization existed, and that this secret organization at least gained a little bit of power and had a little bit of influence in the way that a lot of other conspiracies in my mind don't quite show. So that was something that when I recommended it, or yeah, when I posted it,
it's one of those things where it's like this existed in one form or another.
Yeah.
The problem is, or the thing you got to decide is, was it really this, they stole all this, they did all this and they had their hands in anything, or was it one of those fake it till you make it and tell a lot of stories and they never really made it? but the story still persisted. And then these guys who had delusions of grandeur and lost the war then told their families, well, I was a part of something bigger. And let me tell you.
Yeah, it's real easy to say, oh, yeah, you know that that Union payroll train that went missing the other week? Yeah, that was us.
Yeah, we did.
Like, I mean, it's not like some outlaw is going to come out and say, hey, I did that. And, you know, suddenly have the movie clip where just a billion guns are pointed at him to arrest him. Like, it's real easy to fake a lot of this, saying, oh, yeah, no, yeah, that was totally me. We're totally going to do a Civil War II. It's fine. Just hold on a little bit. And it'll be okay for us.
Every time we say Civil War II, I just hope we're talking about Marvel.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
John, what do you think? I mean, as far as I was saying is going along with him, I don't know. And until they find a train that's been hidden, I don't think we'll ever know because stories grow. Where are you at on this?
Obviously, the Knights of the Golden Circle existed. Mm-hmm. They existed pre-Civil War. I think it's kind of in the realm of... any given political party, the political party is, you know, Southern racists that wanted to eventually secede. They wanted slavery to exist. Yeah. That was their point. Okay. And they went about it a few different ways. They were on the extreme end. Hey, let's go get more of Mexico so we can have more slavery. When they finally figured out, when Lincoln got elected, they figured out that wasn't going to happen. All right, fine, we'll just join with the rest of the Southern states and get and secede from the Union. And I think at that point, the organization just melted into the rest of
it. Just became the South.
The South.
Yeah,
right. I think from there, all of the rest of the conspiracy, the rest of the, you know, the secret handshakes and the trains full of gold bullion and the ties to the assassination of Lincoln and Jesse James, I think it's all bullshit. I don't think any of that actually happened.
You dumb bastard.
You say that every time.
It never gets old if it's true.
I think the best way for people who have lost power to try to keep that power going is to make up fake stories.
To talk about their lost power.
To say that they have power that they don't. And I think that's what happened here.
And I don't want to, I don't know if now is the right point to challenge you or
it's
if I
not.
Should have done it.
So thanks. What are your thoughts?
And I don't know if I should have done this like 30 minutes ago, but I mean, like, Brigadier General Albert Pike is one of two Confederates, like the one of two people that sided with the Confederacy to have a statue in Washington, D.C. He's the only one that has a statue on the National Registrar of Historic Statues for the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just some guy. This isn't just some secessionist that, you know, wanted to, you know, oh yes, owning slaves are cool, which is a clip I'm sure will be cut up later in my life.
There's our well, sound drop.
You know what to do.
Yay.
Oh yes, owning slaves are cool.
Owning slaves are cool. Perfect.
I am never getting a new job ever again. Great. But he's not just some guy that sided with the Confederacy. It looks like, and at least from what I can tell, it looks like there was enough of a political infiltration of this organization that it was more than just
great job.
Hey, look at the cool things we did, and just making up bullshit for the next 45 minutes while you're entertaining your grandkids or something like that.
Just because he had an affiliation with the Knights of the Golden Circle when they existed and then went on to do things for the Confederacy doesn't then mean that the Knights of the Golden Circle went on to have that secret super club with special handshakes and trains full of gold bullion. Like, A plus B doesn't necessarily equal X.
Right, but...
with a remainder? I got lost there. I'm not good with numbers.
Right, but... I'm not saying that just because he has a statue means he's important. I'm saying that
it gives more credence to what he said.
I'm saying that the fact that he has a statue in Washington, D.C. lends credence to the idea that there is some sort of, or that there at one point was some sort of faction of people that were sympathizers of the Knights of the Golden Circle or members of the Knights of the Golden Circle that wanted to push for one of two Confederates to have a statue, mm-hmm. and it's this random guy that was a huge part of that organization.
It's one of those things where, unfortunately, unless something is found, like this truckload of bullion and all this
or
stuff,
trucks
with the stamped KGC, Knights of the Golden Circle, we'll never really know for sure because so much is lost to the ether, gone, unless we find that, people wrote shit down. And it's not to say that 100 years from now, something might come out and we start connecting these dots and drawing these conclusions. Right now, the problem is we just don't know. Because it is all conjecture, just like everything we talk about in this show. So that's why it was perfect for us.
But it was a fun topic.
No, it was. And it's one of those things where, like, you can't say no to this or yes. Like, it's one of those things, like, it's a hard one to discredit because it's very believable that this would have happened.
But I mean, obviously, what we've all said is obviously they existed. Like, no one's saying that they didn't.
No, I'm just talking about how far it went.
Right. It's a question of when they went away.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I'm saying that they just kind of faded into the rest of the South and that was that. And
he's putting forward another point. I'm just saying, like, we don't.
And the question is, where did he get his opinion? And I think we all know the answer.
Who was it? Who could it possibly be? Was it? Oh, I don't know. Say it.
I was just going to go with alternative facts, but I mean, if you want to give me divine intervention here, then that's great.
So, you know what? Hysteria Nation, which one of these two yahoos is right? Is it Ryan who is a sympathizer with the Ku Klux Klan and things like that and begs podcasts to talk about racial stuff like that? Or is it John? He's never going to listen to us again. Or is it John who's like, nah, they were just making shit up? Or is it me who said for shame on all of them and
took the high middle ground?
Yeah, high middle. That's a really good way to put it. Let us know. And where can they let us know? Hysteria Nation. Jump on Facebook, search Hysteria Nation, or just go to facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That's where you can find all of our new episodes, discussions there. Twitter @hysteria51pod. But here's a big one. You can give us a voicemail. 773-669-7277.
773-669-7277. And Brent, I don't know if there was a full moon or a blood moon or what the hell was going on, but we have a bunch of voicemails.
We got five new ones. We're not going to play them all. We're going to play two of them.
Let's do it.
But we got five. You know what? That Friday the 13th just really set some people off. First one, Colt Whitmore, a very active member and the host of the Colt Whitmore Show.
What is happening? I just, thought it'd be a fitting day to call in on this Friday the 13th and shout out to you guys. And yeah, I'm just so excited right now. I don't know. Can't contain it. But no, I just want to say you guys are doing phenomenal. I actually put you guys ahead of my Joe Rogan podcast. So that takes some skill. But definitely appreciate you guys. You guys are hysterical. The topics are amazing. And you got a funny robot. But keep it up. Congratulations on the success and the growth that I've seen you guys having. Oh, by the way, this is Colt. Probably should have started off with that, but yeah. I don't know what else to say. I just want to call because it's Friday the 13th, and you guys are awesome. And Conspiracy Bot, let's get you a girlfriend. I think it would solve a lot of your problems. But, yeah, that's it. Okay. No, just kidding. One more thing. Happy Friday the 13th. All right, now nope. Okay, now. Yep, bye.
Yeah, I thought it was over like four or five times. Ready for it to end, kind of like I'm sure his girlfriend. Just, are you done? Is it?
Well, in his defense, that's probably the way people felt about this episode. Sorry.
No. Ryan, in your defense, that is how most people feel about all episodes of this show.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I feel better now.
Actually, I'm actually really excited with this episode because one of them that actually we couldn't go like, no, that's not true. Why? Because the Earth's not fucking flat or something like that, like that's why. And
where is the train of gold bullion? Under the turtle.
And it's turtles all the way down. So it's fine. It's down there somewhere.
We have a
What
really...
kind of train was it?
Would you like to ride the Bone Train?
We got one more voicemail, and this one is really, really sweet. I got a message the other day from a buddy of mine, and he goes, my daughter just found out about Bigfoot, and she wants to talk to Bigfoot like you talk to Santa. He's like, honey, that's not how it works. She's like, but I want to talk to Bigfoot. He's like, you know what? I know a couple guys. Maybe they can put you in touch with them. So this is a little Elena Nichols calling us to talk to Bigfoot.
Hi, Bigfoot. I kind of like you.
That is actually way too cute and charming
and nice.
To have anything to do with this show.
Yeah, and I reserve all jokes. That was just really cute.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know how to act when nice things happen.
I won't do a Bigfoot impression. All right.
Oh, hello there.
Nope.
So don't forget all those links we gave you, the phone number, everything. You can find all that on our social media. If you forget any of this, just go to hysteria51.com. And they got some homework. What's that homework, John?
You have two pieces of homework. One, tell a friend about the show. Go check it out. Hop on Apple Podcasts, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever. Download the show. Subscribe. Number two, leave us a rating and write a little review. It's got to be 5 stars, but you can say whatever you'd like.
That's true. That is true. You can say whatever you like. Speaking of saying whatever you like, Ryan, thank you so much for A, doing our job for us and coming up with a topic. B, came in with research, including shit that's highlighted. I don't know what it says. We didn't let him say it, but it's highlighted. So he had delusions of grandeur.
Interesting. It was mostly stuff about Brigadier General Albert Pike.
Interesting that we're almost 60 episodes into this podcast and the topic, the contest winner has already done more research than the robot you built.
Facts are fun.
It's true.
Yeah. Can't argue.
So Ryan, you know, you got a little behind the scenes. You got to meet C-Bot. You got to meet producer Lisa. Was it everything you thought it could be?
It was everything I thought it could be and more.
And less.
No.
Let's be honest.
It worked out really...
There were more pinchers than I thought there would be.
It worked out really great because I was worried that we were going to have to... Not worried, but we said, hey, you know, we'll have whoever on through Skype. Then I'm like, oh, man, I hope they have a microphone or we'll have to call them and stuff. And you're like, you were in Chicago. I'm like, well, shits, come on out. Come on out.
This is a lot better than using, like, a little skull candy microphone.
Yeah, exactly. Could you guys hear me? I'm really happy to be on the show, and I want to talk about, do you like slavery? I'm really into slavery. My name's Ryan, and I'm into slavery. That's what I was expecting, and it was just like that, but you sound better.
Hey, why on the outline, C-Bot finished the outline, why on the outline does it say second part of the show with mics off? What is he talking, what does that even mean, C-Bot?
Just editing notes. Pay no mind.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That actually means you can say whatever racist shit you want right now, and nobody's ever going to hear it. So go right ahead.
I'm very racist towards the Inuit people. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Ryan.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
Thanks for listening to Hysteria 51, a weekly oddcast of conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unexplained. We'll be back again next week with more known unknowns. If you'd like us to discuss a particular topic, suggest a guest, or simply seek some truth, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the show at hysteria51podcast@yahoo.com and follow us on Twitter at hysteria51pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.